Congress is just beginning to consider President Bush's request for $38 billion for new homeland defense spending, and there's broad agreement on Capitol Hill that money needs to be spent to increase security at the nation's borders, airports, and other critical facilities. That prospect has led to a boost for homeland security products. NPR's Pam Fessler reports that many companies are looking for a piece of the action.
At this annual food safety conference in Washington, D.C., hand washing has been the traditional weapon of choice. But this year, vendors are pushing products aimed at a new concern, security.
By breaking up the DNA, it makes it so those microorganisms can't replicate. So once they're dead, they're dead.
And Bill Sparks says that's a good thing when it comes to certain pathogens in food, the air, or water supply. He shows off a 2-foot-long rectangular box with filters on one end and thin purple light bulbs lining the sides. It's a model of a product Sparks says his firm, Ultraviolet Systems, has already sold to some big chemical companies worried about attacks.
What you would do is you would put it in line in the ducting of these big air handlers so that if some yahoo comes over and dumps a bunch of smallpox spores into the air system, before it has a chance to go out into the environment, it's killed by the UV light.
Sparks says the technology has been around for years to eliminate such things as salmonella in eggs. But September 11th brought new demands. And now the U.S. Customs Service is using the product to protect against anthrax spores in its Houston mail facility. A few feet away, Greg Boyle of Bernard Technologies pushes another device.
It looks like a regular old garbage bag that is a little thicker, that is activated by light. And if mail or any substrate is put into this bag, anthrax, for example, in the test we have from the government, is it would kill up to 99.999% within 4 hours.
Boyle says when a compound in the plastic is activated by light or humidity, it releases chlorine dioxide. That's the gas that was used to clean up the Hart Senate office building. His company created the technology to sterilize those white plastic gloves worn by food handlers. But after the anthrax attacks last fall, Bernard Technologies supplied United Parcel Service with the mail bags for use at the Winter Olympics. Boyle holds up a wallet-sized packet.
In the future, if this ever happens again, this could be put in a mailbox.
He says powder inside would release a gas to kill anthrax spores on, although not necessarily in, your daily mail. It's a prototype, but if the need arises, the company's ready to go. In fact, thousands of companies with thousands of products are ready to help meet the nation's new homeland defense needs. There are handheld devices to track airline passengers and their luggage, smart cards to verify that individuals are who they say they are, cameras to read license plates and facial features to make sure the wrong people don't go where they aren't allowed. Many of the nation's largest companies have even formed homeland defense units to figure out how they'll fit into the new market. Ed Woolen heads the Homeland Security Team for the Raytheon Company, one of the nation's biggest defense contractors. Woolen was in his 20th floor office in Northern Virginia on September 11th.
I was sitting there and all of a sudden you could feel the window going like that. And when you looked up, you can see from my office the Pentagon, and I still saw the explosion. It was still rising.
He later learned that a close personal friend from Raytheon was on the plane that crashed. Woolen says the company knew almost immediately it had to refocus.
What we have is a change of emphasis, which says that unfortunately we're now a country that can be attacked, and we have to take the same kind of security arrangements here in the United States that we would have to do for our forces overseas.
So Raytheon looked at some of the things it was already doing and how it could be applied to homeland defense. It had been involved in airport security, but has now bid on a government contract to install explosive detection equipment in the nation's 429 airports. And last month, Raytheon unveiled a new product to help so-called first responders, firemen, police, and local emergency workers.
Over time, all of these different departments have bought different communication systems. Many of the communication systems don't work together. So we've developed a command and communication vehicle that, in fact, ties all of these people together.
It's not that different from something the company already developed for military use. For those on the buying end of all these different efforts, however, things can get a bit overwhelming. Santa Fe County Commissioner Javier Gonzalez says local officials are being inundated with calls.
Absolutely. I had a conversation with my county sheriff this morning, and he's just not returning calls anymore. He's getting calls from salespeople who don't really understand local government, who are just wanting to make a quick sale and move on.
Gonzalez says the challenge for officials is to sort through all the products and find those that are most reliable and fit their needs. But he adds, until local and state governments get some more money from the federal government, there's not all that much they can do. Most don't have the funds to make big purchases. Those in the homeland defense industry say they realize it will take some time for the market to shake out, but until then, they'll be offering their wares at every opportunity. Robert Axline is CEO of Plastic Card Systems, which sells equipment to make IDs. He says a lot of people aren't buying yet, but they are looking. And in his area, they're looking at things they used to ignore, such as sophisticated cards with computer chips that note everything from fingerprints to facial features.
Chip cards, nobody would speak about them. Nobody wanted to pay for them. They're expensive. Now people are beginning to say, we need that extra protection.
And for that, he says, government could pay upwards of $10 or $12 a card for potentially millions of people, a market that's difficult for anyone to ignore. Pam Fessler, NPR News, Washington.